And invite you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. It's the last of the books of the law. And I'll read from the closing chapter of what's the introductory, well, the first section of Deuteronomy, they say. Chapters 1 through 26, and I turn then to the end of that section, Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11 for us this morning. It's concerning the offerings of the first fruits and tithes. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today that the Lord your God, that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there. Few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you and your house. You and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I read this, the phrase that struck out to me the most was the last verse, wherein it says we shall rejoice in the Lord and all the good that the Lord has given to us and to our house. You, the Levite, and the sojourner, the stranger who is among us. So there is joy in giving. A young girl once gave this author, Mark Batterston, a rabbi, a raspberry. Let's get it right. Once gave Batterston a raspberry. Now, raspberries remained in the memory of many Jews imprisoned in German death camps around Poland, you know. And when they found the raspberry, it was among their most precious treats. Tastier than any chef could ever concoct. Simple raspberries. It reminds me of our grandson, Jonah, who, when he was about, eight or so, went out in the fields around our place in Halifax. He went out and picked a whole pail of raspberries. Now, wild raspberries, you may know, are not very big. And it was about a whole day's labor for Jonah to pick this pail of raspberries. And he was really excited to get into it. And he, of course, you know, an 8-year-old, maybe a 35-year-old, maybe a 66-year-old, when you're picking raspberries, you know, you eat as many as you pick. There was a picture my daughter took of Jonah. His hands and his face are completely stained with the raspberry juice. And he was dumbfounded when his mother, our daughter, told him that she would make a raspberry cobbler out of these raspberries for the whole family. He thought it would be just for him to eat raspberries. This young girl who gave Batterson that raspberry after a day of carrying it around, and among the memories of those who were imprisoned in the Nazi death camps of Poland, now lying in ruins. And their memories still are the raspberries. And I'll always remember the raspberries that Jonah and our children, when they were young, picked from wild vines, a free gift found in the brambles, enough to stain hands and faces, to make a raspberry cobbler for a whole family. Batterson remarked about these: the true measure of a gift is what you gave up to give it. One raspberry, a handful of raspberries, a pail of raspberries, he said, isn't much unless it's all you have. Then it's not next to nothing, it's everything. The same is true of $2 billion or two mites, the widow's mite of the Scriptures. Big dreams often start, he said, with small acts of kindness. It's powerful when we're on the receiving end. But it's even more when we're on the giving end. Anybody who's been on a mission trip or has given of themselves in any way knows how powerful it is to be on the giving end. And that's the lesson of Deuteronomy 26, these verses before us. In an agricultural society where giving up the first and best fruits of the produce to God, it's not only an act of faith that God will give more and more, enough and even more to feed the whole family, and then some as well. But it's also a reminder that all good things come from God. The land that God had promised to the patriarchs of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and as this early creed says, I was a wandering Aramean. My father, there were generations in between these, but the worshiper looks back to his father, not only Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. All these we are connected to as well. And so we with them, we look back to the freedom from slavery in Egypt and the deliverance even from the wilderness wanderings. And so the worshiper says, at last it is my pleasure to bring to you, O God, these first and best of what I have to give you. For they are what you first have given. You know, we have a song. It's a real simple song in our hymnal. It says these only lines. All things come from thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. That's a whole song. In our society, you know, based not upon what we ourselves have grown and raised, but out of the money, which is the measure of the first fruits of our labor, giving the first fruits is from our earnings, isn't it? As though we were bringing to the Lord a full basket of ripe and fresh grains, vegetables, fruits. Instead, we give our money as the sign of our dependency upon and our thankfulness to God, who promised us the promised land along with Jacob, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, the patriarch Saul. The promised land which shall never be stolen or captured. It's what the angel instead, not a physical land, but as the angel said to John in the Revelation, the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, we shall inherit, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city, that shining city upon a hill. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. That's you and I. They will see His face, and His name will be upon their foreheads as I anointed those this morning. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. That's the promised land toward which we strive, isn't it? And what we give today, now, is a sign of our thankfulness for the free grace and deliverance from our own wilderness wanderings, whatever they may be. That through the free gift of Christ Jesus, who bled and died for us, we, you and I, by faith are saved. As Paul explained it to the Romans, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what we were before we knew Christ. Very rarely will anyone, he said, die for a righteous person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might dare possibly to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And so, for if while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? That's Romans chapter 5, if you want to look it up. And so the beauty of what's called our monetary system today is that we're no longer limited to bring our gifts to God at this one time of year that's spoken of here in Deuteronomy 26. At that one time of year before the gifts spoil and rot. And our giving year round, it's still nonetheless an offering of thanks from our first fruits. You know, I get paid like every 2 weeks, right? Or however you're paid. But that tithe is still the first fruits. Some are able to give even more. That love gift and on top of the tithe. But however it's given, it says, Paul told the Corinthians, this kind of giving was an inexpressible gift. Inexpressible. Indescribable. One translation puts it, a gift that's too wonderful to explain. The good news nicely captures what Paul is saying there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with this. God will always make you rich enough to be generous at all times so that many will thank God for you, for your gifts. Many will give glory to God for your loyalty to the gospel of Christ, which you profess, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. And so, with deep affection, they will pray for you because of the extraordinary grace God has shown you. Let us thank God for His priceless gift. The giving of our gifts and tithes is always, you know, always a part of worship. Because as these who brought their first fruits literally to God, they were doing it as a part of their worship. And so we do it as a part of our worship. So let us always and ever thank God. Thank God for His priceless, matchless, indescribable, inexpressible, wonderful gift that's given to you, that enables you to give to Him.